Grace to you and peace
from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
To those who dwelt in deep darkness,
the great light has shone.
We've heard those words before, haven't we? Just recently, Christmas time. Because it was read on Christmas Eve, the same passage from Isaiah. It is part of that big theme here in the Northern Hemisphere as we go through this period of decreasing light and then start into a period of increasing light. About this contrast between dark and light. Not just literally, though that is a reminder of it, but that sense of living in darkness. You know, like when the power goes out and you can't get from one end of the room to the other without banging your knee 3 or 4 times and saying words you aren't supposed to. That kind of darkness that you stumble and bumble and are uncomfortable with is an imagery for life for a lot of people. Our life for all of us at some times, I think is probably true too. We all have those periods of darkness. Now it's easy to get caught up in that. It's easy to get caught up in the fear that people will try to parade around. Politics, religion, media, everybody kind of sometimes wants to scare you with stuff. But I want you to notice in that phrase that we repeat from Christmas is, on them a great light has shined. Not outwards easy and comfortable, but in the midst of the darkness, God chooses to come and shine his light. And that's true throughout the Bible. God tends to be surprising because people expect him to come where they're comfortable. God tends to come where we least expect it and we're uncomfortable, in the midst of life. After all, at Christmas time, don't we call Jesus Emmanuel, God with us? And if so, that doesn't just mean when things are bright and shiny and light all shines on us. It also means those times when darkness and fear and particularly uncertainty rack our brains and our lives. Now you're probably thinking, okay, it's not Christmas. Did you run out of sermon material? No. I got plenty of things I can talk about. But it strikes me, and maybe it's just me, that sometimes it's better to talk about a season when you're not in the middle of it. Especially Christmas. Because Christmas has so much stuff attached to it, so much hoopla that's expected of people during that season, that sometimes we just sort of walk through it, trying to keep up with everything, and maybe we don't hear the message. So let's hear that message again about the light shining in the darkness. And apply it to our own lives. Because all these lessons are not just told to remember the past. They're learned lessons from the past that help inform our presence and guide us into the future. And I think there's some deep stuff in here. Stuff that relates to us that we need to look at again in the Christmas story. So we're going to do that today. First thing I want you to notice about the Christmas story is that they didn't seem to realize that a great light was shining on them. In the story of Isaiah, the people who had just been taken into captivity and their nation conquered militarily probably thought the prophet was crazy. They usually thought prophets were crazy because they did not fail them to focus on their fallacies and their fears, but pronounced to them that in the midst of them, God was still active and at work. True in the Christmas story. Look at the cast of characters. Mary and Joseph, they picked up on some stuff, but they sure, as we know from other stories of the Bible, didn't realize that a great light was shining. They knew something was happening, but they didn't realize it. How about those other people? The shepherds, they returned back to their flocks. It wasn't like they sold all they had and suddenly became Christians. You know, nothing like that happened to them. They figured something was going on. They didn't have a clear picture. The Magi, they wandered for, a year or two and somehow bumbled their way to Bethlehem by way of Jerusalem and got back. They knew something was going on, but they didn't catch all of it, too. The only one who should have really recognized the importance of what happened on Herod. And he misused that information out of his own fears and anxieties. So it's not that they'll have something with this clear vision. People in Isaiah's time didn't suddenly have the skies open up and they made sense of everything and sang kumbaya. No, they in the midst of darkness in their lives and uncertainty and the breaking of traditions and the foundations they thought supported them still believed, trusted, and had hope. Hope that God was going on in their lives. And because that hope had not been extinguished, the first glimmers of light they began to see. Søren Kierkegaard, famous philosopher, said, "We live life forward, but we understand it looking back." And isn't that true? That we're in the midst of things, we don't really understand what's going on a lot of times. I don't. I can't explain everything that happened. But generally when I look back and say, okay, I see that connection, I see that. But not when you're living it. And to notice the people were living in both Isaiah's time and in Jesus' time. They weren't exactly great periods to be alive, you know. They were kind of backwards people in backwards time, dealing with conflicts, dealing with a lot of stuff going on. It's not a time you would choose to teleport to if you had a time machine to enjoy the good things in life. It might be a good time to go to understand the struggles of life and how people have faith in the midst of their struggles. Because that's what the story is about. That's where our gospel lesson comes in too. Peter, James, John, Andrew, as we know, and we're going to hear those stories throughout the church here, they really weren't the sharpest tools in the shed when it comes to figuring out what was going on. You know, a lot of things Jesus would say it, and he'd say it, and he'd say it, and he'd say it, because they were having trouble grasping it. It wasn't like suddenly they knew everything, they made sense of everything. They still had their doubts and fears, and yet they responded. Peter and his brother had a very successful fishing adventure, vision. I mean, they had several boats, as we know from the stories in the gospel. These weren't just guys fishing a pole out on the stream. I mean, they were making a living off of feeding fish to all these Gentiles that had moved into their region. It was a cash situation for them. But they left it immediately to follow after this itinerant preacher. That something he said and something he did sparked hope. The sons of Zebedee, that's even crazy. Zebedee means thunder. That's what their dad was called. So you can imagine what kind of thunder rolled out of him when his two boys left him out on the lake to go follow Jesus without taking care of him. There were probably some words said that day that you wouldn't want to repeat. And they probably knew they were getting in trouble. But somehow, they heard a word of hope. They saw something. Even if they did not understand it, but they picked up their feet and walked. Immediately, we are told, in both cases, they followed Jesus. That's what faith is about. It's not about having a clear vision and understanding everything. It's being open to hope and trust that God will lead you to where you need to be. And you'll notice in all these cases, not where they wanted to be. The people in Isaiah's time did not want to be in captivity. And yet that's where God had them, to be a light to the Gentiles. The shepherds took great risk at following Jesus because if Herod's men had found out about they were worshiping a new king, Herod had a habit of doing that kind of thing. So it was a great risk. They didn't understand a lot, but the apostles, the shepherds, the magi, all of them in the midst of doubt and fears and uncertainties, and that voice in their brain going, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there, dared to hope and believe. And through them, God's light began to shine again in places it had not been seen before. Frederick Buechner, another person who I like reading about, who's an English author and also a theologian, says the church votes with its feet. And what he meant by that is that sometimes, not even knowing exactly where we're going, God's Spirit moves in the church throughout the generations and it picks up its feet and walks. The early church walked towards the Gentiles, who were considered far beyond them, especially those who came out of the tradition of their time. The church marched into the northern regions where people worshipped with very different styles. The church advanced to the new colonies here in this part of the world, not under the best of pretenses, but people brought their faith with them, and dared to move and trust and hope that God would be with them when they stretched far beyond their comfort zone. The apostles, none of them were happy with their assignments. You go over the list of what happened, the tradition, we don't know if it's all true, all killed for the faith. Peter, everybody but John in the original 12, according to tradition, died because of their faith or struggles with it in one form or another. And John, who escaped the tradition, says, got poisoned and exiled. So it wasn't like they went to go somewhere where they knew the light was shining, but they were taking the light into the darkness of the world around them. So too, I want us to hear Christmas. I want us to hear the stories about the call of the apostles. Not about something in the past, but a story from the past that informs our present. That we are called to, in the midst of the doubts and uncertainties of our lives, to hold open the door to trust and hope. And to believe that God may not take us to the bright, shiny places we'd like to be at, but God may take us to be the light in the darkness of people's lives around us. And others may be that light of Christ in our lives. Immediately, they got up and followed. I'm always amazed at that. I'm not sure I've done a lot of things immediately in my life about much of anything. Maybe sometimes, but I have. But that openness of faith and hope. Not that they were perfect. Not that they always knew the answers. Not that they even knew the direction they were going at. But before they knew it, their feet were moving, following Jesus. So too this day. God calls us not to stay in the bright warmth and light that's in His place, but to go out into the world. Out into the world. Maybe into our own darknesses and the darkness of others, and allow the light of Christ through His love and mercy to shine. On us, people living in our own darkness and shadows, a great light is shining. We only have the hope and faith and trust to get up and go.
Amen.